Blog Talk Radio.
This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone.
Welcome back to another edition of the JewelCast. This is John. I'm here on my own, which is always a good time, but I should be joined by my special guest momentarily here. No one else could do tonight's show, which is great, mostly because people are going to the game tonight. Of course, the Kings are playing the Flames. Why you would want to go to a Kings-Flames game, given what tends to happen when the Kings play the Flames, is beyond me, but apparently our own Shang and Eric both decided they had to be there to see another wonderful last-minute loss to the Calgary Flames. I don't know what Nick was doing. Nick was busy. Andrew just never replied. So, yeah, that's basically it. Jake is going to get on here in a second, apparently. At least he decided to tweet about it first, which is more than a lot of people have actually done. Yeah, Nicole's here too. Hi, Nicole. They can't hear you, but she's here too. No, because it would sound really bad. All right, I'm going to have a conversation with somebody who you can't actually hear. So if any of you want to call in, tonight is a great night to do it because we, again, it's going to be just me and Jake whenever Jake gets on here. So you won't be talking to three or four people like with some other episodes. So, again, if you want to call in and join us, this is the week. You may have noticed we did not have an episode of JewelCast last week. I think we're going to go to every other week from now on, or maybe like 3 weeks out of a month, because every week was getting to be kind of like there's only so much you can talk about when your podcast is focused around one hockey team. And plus, on top of that, I'm starting a job tomorrow, and like I'm going to have a little less time for stuff. So probably we're not going to do a show next Monday for sure, because what is the point of doing a show after the All-Star game? Like, are you even going to watch the All-Star game? It's also Nicole's birthday. That's another good reason not to do a show next week. But yeah, so no show next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And I don't know why I'm starting off the show with this, I guess, because I have nobody on here with me. But hey, look, here's Jake. Hi, Jake.
Hello, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good. So you're not drunk anymore, huh? I just got that.
No,
I got
that
breaking
news.
Emily,
yeah,
I know, Emily
exactly. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's work. We are good. Officially okay now.
I mean, I've done this show tipsy before, I would say. Not quite drunk. So
step up your game. You've only been doing it for a few months, so there's still time.
Yeah. Well, we've been doing this show for, like, God, like 7 months now, actually, and it feels like it's been
several months. We'll call me. Yeah, no, we're good. We're ready to go.
Emily just said it's a good thing she's not on, which is actually kind of disappointing. I was kind of hoping she would call anyone, call too, just as a surprise or something, but have both of them.
Yeah, she's still much worse off than I am in every way.
Yeah, I did get that vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, that is still a fact.
Now, Jake, did she vomit on any part of her body?
Thankfully, no. And thankfully, it's not sarcastic. We there's a bullet dodged. It would be fair to say.
Yeah,
we'll leave it at that.
There was a girl I was dating, not Nicole, for the record, who...
Well, I imagine this story wouldn't be being told if that was the case.
Also, her name was also Emily, as Nicole just pointed out. That's a good point. But anyway, so she was also
very
drunk.
It's a very common name in our generation.
It is. So she was also very drunk, and I literally, like, she said she was going to throw up. So I walked up to the couch she was on and literally held a trash can up to her face, and she paused, looked at it. She looked at it and then moved her head and vomited on my arm instead. So the trash can was literally inches from her face. All she had to do was throw up into it, and instead she decided my arm was a better target. So
did you take it as a sign? Maybe that was a, you know, there's a message behind that or something.
There might have been, but, you know, anyway. That's this week's Tail and Vomit, as is our weekly segment.
Honestly, given given the past several years, I could probably do a weekly column on that.
I drink a lot, as people know who follow me on Twitter, but I've never really been a big vomiter. Like, I can drink a ton and not throw up usually. I think I've probably only thrown up a couple times in my entire life, maybe like two or three times. So
I was going to say, I think I've broken that in the past 6 months. So, that's good for you, buddy.
I'm pretty lucky with that, because I do not enjoy vomiting. It's not a fun thing. So I'm glad it happens rarely. Mm. Do you enjoy vomiting, Jake?
Agreed.
Is it a fun time?
No, you know what? No, it's actually not so great. Don't enjoy it particularly. Actually, that's a great corollary to the sharks. It's just like vomiting. I don't really particularly enjoy it, but I feel obligated to do it after I've drank a lot. Yes, absolutely.
That's how I feel about the Kings a lot this season. But I know
no one
wants to hear me complain.
Wow.
Two cups of
incredible.
Tea.
Could not be less sympathetic if you tried. I don't know. Maybe you are trying, but that's not. I feel nothing for you. Literally nothing.
Every January we're really bad, okay? At least we have
January. Oh no.
I know. It's the worst month for a hockey team to be bad in, Jake. By far the worst.
I was going to say, this a January game against the Flames tonight, that is a game the Kings are absolutely going to lose. I mean, and badly, too, probably. Yeah, a January game, like, Calgary team, absolutely. That's just
I disagree they're going to lose badly. It's going to be tied the entire time, and they're going to get scored on with, like, a minute left. That's what's going to happen. Like, I can
tell you
that.
Well, it's going to be someone embarrassed. Johnny Goodrow is not going to be winning the game for the Flames. It's going to be much, much worse than that. Jonathan Quick is going to let a saucy in something. Maybe Jared Stoll will score on Jonathan Quick. That actually seems likely to me. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often.
Maybe Derek England. I don't know. Somebody.
That's a good nominee, actually. Yeah, no, I'm all about that. I take that.
The Kings and the Flames. I mean, like I was saying, I don't know if you heard the open or anything, but so Eric and Chang from our website both are going to this game tonight, and that's why they're not on the podcast with us. And why you would ever go to a game in January between the Kings and the Flames, if you're a Kings fan, is frankly beyond my comprehension. Like, why would you do that to yourself?
Man. Wow, maybe the tickets were $5 or something. It is a Monday night. That's a possibility.
I wouldn't go if you paid me $5. Like,
look at you. Poor baby.
I know. I'm just saying,
Jesus,
they
be more dated.
Why put yourself through that, though, if you're a Kings fan? That's all I'm saying.
They could go see literally anything, any game they wanted to, and that's the one they chose to go to. Yeah, it seems like a mistake to me.
Yeah. So the Sharks have been better lately, right? They've been winning games and stuff, although their Corsi and stuff has been going down after, it was not hot to start the year, and then it was, I feel like it was back above 52%, and now as I'm looking at it right now, they're back below 52, just barely at 51.9. Score adjusted Corsi. So that's still good, but it's a little off what the Sharks have been doing, what we're used to seeing from the Sharks. How satisfied are you with their level of play right now?
Yeah, I think the problem isn't so much that their play now is bad. It's, you know, they've been so much better in the past, several years. And then in this offseason, they didn't make moves to make the team better, you know, not in the short term, not in the long term. They made several moves that made the team worse, you know. So whereas, you know, a few years ago, maybe it's like, oh, you know, they had a 52-53% in January, but like, oh, it's no big deal, but, you know, it'll pass. They'll figure it out. It's no big deal. And I don't really have that same level of confidence this year. That has less to do with, them fucking up in the playoffs every single year, and much more to do, obviously, with the fact that the team was so good and so close the past 2 years, and management, ownership, whoever it was, you know, that's actually pushing the buttons over there, they decided to make the team much, much worse now than they were before. You know, there were no upgrades made. You know, obviously, the things the Sharks did during the offseason are very well publicized. I can't imagine any Kings fans unaware of, you know, the stupid stuff that they've done over the past 6 or 7 months. You know, it's well documented, and I think that, you know, you're seeing the results of that. You know, there are the so-called rebuild isn't happening, you know, because the Sharks don't have the talent. They don't have, you know, you don't draft, you know, right? I mean, you know, this is a Kingsman. You don't draft, you know, 25th every single year and end up with like, well look at all these, you know, these all-stars. It just doesn't really happen. You know, there's no pipeline. And so it's the rebuild is fake, and instead of going out and upgrading their blue line, right, they didn't. They got rid of Dan Boyle, and so we're still rolling out the ghost of Scott Hannon every single night. So, you know, pretty crappy.
Dan Boyle, I watch a lot of Rangers games, as you probably know. And
I
Dan
imagine
Boyle
you
actually,
do.
Yeah, Dan Boyle actually looks even better than I expected him to look with the Rangers. So, like, I'm still not really sure why.
He does get to play against the Eastern Conference, first of all. That's number one. It was a money thing. You know, they didn't want to pay him whatever it was that he was going to cost. I guess that's at least would be the company line, which, again, would be fine if they went out and actually, you know, paid for a defenseman, and they didn't do that. So, you know, you can't say, like, oh, we're not going to pay for this defenseman and then not pay for anyone. You know, it doesn't work like that.
That's true.
Unless you're the Sharks, I guess, and here we are.
I want to look up Dan Boyle's Corsi's, but it takes way too long now. I miss Extra Skater. Do you miss Extra Skater, Jake?
Yeah, every single day. I mean, are you kidding me? I have like three different hockey websites open right now to be like dangerous, whereas before I could have just used one. It's disappointing.
It's really bad. His Corsi is still like 51.8 this season, even. On a team that's only around, that's still been around 50. So, yeah, I mean, you know, he's in the
he's not too. Exactly like a first, you know, a top pair defenseman or anything, but they didn't need him
but
to be either,
pair.
You know.
Yeah,
right.
Second pair,
I mean,
he's still really solid.
Right, exactly.
And
he looks
great on the power play for them, too. Like, the Rangers power play has been garbage basically every season until this season. So, I mean, Boyle's looks really good on the power play.
Had they been well, the thing is the real loss, right? Is that because they let Dan Boyle go, they moved Brent Burns back to defense, right? That's really what happened. And so you didn't really, not so much that you lost anything in defense. Not that Burns is particularly good defensively, which I feel like is the best kept secret in the NHL the past 8 years. He wasn't very good defensively when he came to the Sharks to begin with. You know, he's the kind of plays that he makes. You know, he's like the Jonathan Quick of defense, right? He makes these like really, like really incredible, awesome plays. And like, oh man, that Brent Burns guy, really, really love watching him play hockey. It's like, well, yeah, that's right. But he also, you know, makes incredibly risky plays that, you know, put the defense at risk, which is a problem when you're paid to be a defenseman in the National Hockey League. You know, paid as a winger, he's an incredible winger. He's just not good enough defensively to be a top pair guy or whatever. And that's one, what he's paid like, and two, now we're losing a good winger, and that's why Mike Brown and John Scott draw into the lineup. So it's incredible.
Yeah,
I love it.
The line from your GM Doug Wilson when he said that they need Burns to be their Doughty. You know, I mean, you know, Doughty's garbage in a lot of ways, but he's a fantastic first pairing defenseman. And comparing Burns to Doughty is just kind of ridiculous. It looks even more ridiculous given what he's done so far this season.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's I don't know who he's saying that to. Like, and I know I wrote about this during the offseason. Like, I don't really know who that message is being delivered to. You know, were you telling the fans that we were supposed to expect Brent Burns to play like Drew Doughty? Because that's, you know, I mean, that's honestly, that's a just offensive to any hockey fan with a, with, you know, the brain and eyeballs, you know. I think that's just you're either setting up your fans to have unreasonable expectations, which not a great thing for a fan base and a team that's had high expectations for the past 8 years and never had them delivered upon, right? I just don't know who he's talking to. And I think that obviously, there's a lot to be said for the idea that Doug Wilson isn't the guy delivering the messages anymore. You know, he's not the one calling the shots. He's not, there's something to be said for that. I know we don't know, for all we know, Doug Wilson, woke up after that playoff series and, became a fucking moron. It's absolutely possible. Maybe he finally lost it or something, but there's definitely something to be said for the idea that ownership is has a lot to do with a lot of what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, because it felt like the whole thing was a justification for them to cut payroll, which I guess is what you're getting at. And it's like, it's disappointing, I'm sure, for Sharks fans, because this really should have been a year where they were, like, competitive top team. And then you look at the state of the Pacific Division and how they've, the closest thing to a contender are the Kings, and the Kings can't, keep the puck out in that. It's like, they'll probably turn around, but we look at every other team in the division, no one in the division other than Kings is even at 52% score-adjusted Corsi at evens. It's like that division was wide open, and they just kind of like, I don't know. It feels like they're not going to be good enough.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, it feels like the – yeah, no, and I totally agree. And it's too bad because it feels like the NHL as a whole is weaker now than it ever has been before. The Kings, I feel like, are more beatable this year than they were either the last 2 years, certainly. The Blackhawks are more beatable this year than the last 2 years. I fully believe the Blues are going to roll over in the playoffs like they always do. And in the East is the East, I feel like a Western Conference team is going to win the Stanley Cup again, and that's going to be, I don't feel like, other than, I don't know, if Marc-Andre Fleury plays like, plays like he played in that first half of the season the rest of the year, then I think the Penguins have a shot. But other than that, it would not surprise me. If Kings figure it out, I think that they're a favorite.
Tampa, I think, is for real, too. They're leading the league in score-adjusted course. I think they're going to, and they just have so much talent. If they won the cup, I would not at all be surprised at this point.
Yeah, I guess I just wonder what happened to them last year. I feel like the last couple of years that they've had the talent hasn't really changed. I don't really know what it is that's made them so much better in Corsi this year than they were maybe last year. I certainly think that they're a good team. I don't know. I would not pick them against really any Western Conference team going into a cup final, assuming they get that far.
So I wrote a lot about the Sharks, their playoff struggles. Like, I did a long piece during the off season, and the thing that struck me when I was researching that piece is just how bad the goaltending really was. I knew it was bad, but when I actually broke it down, and there was about one, I think there was one season where they got better than .920 goaltending in the playoffs, which is incredible, honestly. When you look at, this was like an 8-season sample, and in general, the trend is that save percentage goes up in the playoffs, whereas with the Sharks, every single year it would go down. And it's just like, it was boggling to see that all in black and white like that. And it was with different goalies too, with Nabokov and Niemi. So,
sure.
I was wondering, as a Sharks fan, if you have any possible explanation for this except just, FML, basically.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of Sharks fans who think that, that the goalies that the Sharks have had are, or whatever, playoff chokers or something to that degree. I think that the argument, right. Well, listen, I'm not saying, they're geniuses, right? They're hockey fans, right? And I think these people are idiots, clearly, It's like, I think that, it's like anything else, right? You watch a team that's so, so good, fuck it up every single year, and you need something, right? And so, I think goaltending, it's been the easy thing to pin it behind. I don't know. I don't really think there's anything to it. Any more than, there's some goalies that just have played very, very well in the playoffs and some that haven't. I don't know. I think that we'd have to, someone a lot smarter than me would have to come up with a really, really good reason for why that's the case. I think the only maybe compelling argument is just has to do with workload. You know, Niemi the past few years has played, I mean, Jesus Christ, like, you know, almost every single game. Obviously, in the lockout season, less of a, not a concern, I would say. But, you know, the 10 years other than that, he's played so much that, you know, maybe it's a fatigue problem. And, you know, that's an argument that that someone can make. I don't know. I guess my feeling has always been that if the goalie is the reason that you lose in the playoffs or lose in general, you know, you don't deserve to win. Your team should be good enough to withstand a goalie not playing very well, unless we're talking, you know, with exceptions to the rule, the Andrei Pavlik rule. You know, there are exceptions.
There were some years in there where the goalie, I recall, Pavlik-like. Like, there were a few sub-900 years.
Mm.
So, I mean, I don't know. It was just stunning to see it. Like, it made it clear to me that the goaltending was the biggest problem. Like, I'm sure there were other problems. But the team will play reasonably well to great when you look at, like, raw shots and all that kind of stuff. And they would just get let down by their goaltending year after year after year, which is just, you know, it was just kind of amazing to see it. Like, and they would also run into hot goalies year after year after year.
Right. Well, I was going to say that's the other thing. If you look at the last several, you know, playoff series losses, you know, the last 2 years of the Kings, I mean, it's because of the goalie, only so much as, you know, Niemi wasn't as good as Jonathan Quick was. And, you know, and a lot of those years, you know, Jonathan Quick was a lot better than pretty much everybody else he played in the playoffs. When they lost to the Blues, that had nothing to do with goaltending and everything to do with, I mean, Jesus Christ, every single facet of that hockey team. That was just, you know.
Yeah, that was the one that would stand up as the exception, I guess, where the Blues clearly were just better. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, they just were.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. And, you know, the Blackhawks, I think, were a better team both the years that they beat the Sharks. The Canucks, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say the Canucks outplayed the Sharks in whatever year that was, 2011 or 10 or 2011. It feels
yeah,
like 20, forever
2011,
ago.
Yeah. The Canucks series was
Canucks Cup year.
That was one where the Sharks outshot the Canucks, like, I think 40-something to something in the teens for the Canucks. The Canucks still won one of those games.
It turns out that Roberto Luongo is really, really good at being a goalie. Who knew? You know, wow, turns out that guy's okay. You know, and even the year before that, the Sharks run into a hot goaltender in Niemi, who just, that was the first playoff series I watched really as a Sharks fan. It's just, I mean, he was incredible. I mean, I don't know. When you run into a goalie like that, I don't know. There's really nothing you can do about it. It's just kind of the way it is.
Well, so you weren't even around for the Hiller year, where Hiller stoned them in that 1-8 series.
No, true. And well, yeah. I mean, you know, I was aware of it, you know, or whatever. But no, I did not actually really watch it per se. Thank God.
It should be here. It should be noted.
But yeah, so that's the Sharks' fun past as a playoff team. Good fun for them, I'm sure. So your expectations going into this year are pretty low.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were low coming into the season. You know, I picked them to be a playoff team, but not a good playoff team by any means. The thing is, the way it's going right now with, you know, Anaheim continuing to win in the stupid shootout, right? The Kings and the Sharks are going to play in the first round again. And assuming that the Kings have figured it out by then, you know, the Kings are going to win that series in, you know, five games. Even if the Kings haven't figured it out, so we'll get another seven-game series or something where neither team really wants to win for whatever reason, and, you know, whatever. Then that team, if they continue to play, that will lose in the second round. So, you know, whatever. The Sharks are not as currently constructed good enough to win the Stanley Cup. Not at all.
Where do you see it going after this then?
You know, I don't know. I think that the Sharks have made a lot of really conflicting moves. I think the Sharks don't know what they're going to do next. I think at this point, you know, they tried to move Thornton, they tried to move Marlowe, they floated that idea, you know, and it didn't work. But by the time they realized, oh shit, we can't actually move either of these guys, it was too late to actually, you know, do anything to actually help the team. So, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. I really don't know what they can do at this point. I think you can't trade Thornton. You can't trade Marlowe. They're just going to slip into being, you know, a bad hockey team. You know, Thornton and Marlowe are not going to be good forever. It's not the way it works. So at some point, they're going to be bad enough. and they're not going to be able to move them, and they're not going to have any good draft picks or prospects coming up. And then, I don't know, then they don't make the playoffs for a while, and then they're going to, you know, do what everybody else does. I think the trap that the Sharks have been able to avoid for so long is this idea that, well, we're not really good enough to win the Stanley Cup, so we should just tank right now. And, you know, and give up all those, you know, instead of retooling. Retooling is the way that you, in my opinion, where you stay in that, you know, top four in your conference slot year in, year out. The Sharks aren't doing that anymore. And so barring, you know, some kind of a miracle, they're going to slowly get worse and worse until they have to, you know, start tanking like everybody else and hopefully get some good draft picks. So exiting this year, I honestly have no idea. And I don't think Doug Wilson knows. I don't think, you know, Plattner knows. I don't think, you know, Todd McClellan knows. I don't think any of them know what the plan is long term. I don't think there is one. And that's, I think, the problem, obviously.
Yeah. This is, wow, this is depressing. Like, I am depressed for you. you guys were a contender for this long and you couldn't even make a cup final, and then it looks like they're going to have to tear it down. It's just, that's depressing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's crappy and whatever. You know, it's, I don't know, I think I'm now removed enough from it that it's not, you know, it's whatever. You know, I'm going to be a fan of this hockey team for a long, long time. Really, the most disappointing thing to me is that the ownership and that management decided to, you know, screw it up for Thornton and Marlowe after all of this time. I think that's really the most disappointing thing, you know. I don't know. Winning a cup with Logan Couture is not exactly the same as winning a cup with Joe Thornton. And I think that, yeah, you know, anyone who has watched, who knows anything about Logan Couture knows that. It's just, it won't be the same. You know, even if they did figure it out when it, you know, 7 years.
Why do all of you guys hate him? I've noticed that,
well,
like, no Shark fan seem to like him.
So far as, yeah, I mean, he's not a very, I mean, I don't know, you know, it's just not a very likable dude. He's just not, you know, he's not. He's not Joe Thornton. I mean, Joe Thornton is a very, very likable player, right? And Logan Couture is, he's just not, you know, for a whole myriad of reasons. Yeah, yeah, kind of a douchebag. Just, yeah, the way it is. It wouldn't mean as much. And I think, at least, especially for Sharks fans who have been around for a long time or whatever, you know, since he's not the same guy that Joe Thornton is or Patrick Marleau, even Joe Pavelski is, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, Marlowe and Thornton, they were also very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, they made any claim that it was their fault, the lack of playoff success, was basically nullified when I looked it up, because, like, basically every single year they were both great. So I don't know.
Yep.
The fact that history is going to write them as, like, the guys who could never get it done, it's really unfair. But that's how they're probably going to write it.
Okay, that's sports, though. That's just the way it works. You know, best players get blamed when the team doesn't do what the team's supposed to do. You know, coaches get fired, best players get blamed, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's fair, it's right, because, you know, I think we both know that clearly it's not. But, nah, that's just the way it is. You know, they'll retire to their mansions and to their Hall of Fames, and they'll be fine.
True.
They're going to be
That
okay.
is true, actually. They are very
you know, after time, yeah. You know who else never won anything? Yeah, Barry Bonds never won anything either. You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever, dude. There are all kinds of great players in many sports that have never won a damn thing. And, yeah, it sucks and whatever. And it's disappointing. But they'll be fine. Their legacy will be fine. Because all these, you know, old sports writers will retire and die, and we won't have to hear about them anymore. That'll be that.
Jake, you have somehow made peace with all this, and I am impressed by your capacity for apparently inner peace.
Yeah, well, you know, it's what you have to do. You become really good at it as a Sharks fan, as it turns out.
were you like you know, Derek going into Game 7 this year, where you just had, there was no doubt in your mind the Sharks were losing that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, after Game 5, I was like, oh, yeah, this is pretty bad. After Game 6, the thing is, too, Game 6 was not great. You know, I think there was really no doubt after that, at least in my mind, that it was over. Even with the, you know, getting the game at home, it was absolutely over. You know, at the same time, though, after, you know, going up 3-0, I thought that the Sharks would, you know, were going to wrap it up, and I didn't think, you know, like, oh, well, they have 4 games. I thought, no, it, you know, in 4 or 5 games, it's over, just based on, you know, how well the Sharks have played, and just how bad the Kings look. I think that's something that people forget about. I mean, they look just
they weren't terrible.
The same hockey team. They just weren't. They just looked, in every way.
Game three, they were good. Game three, they were good. Games one and two, they were.
That's true.
Games 1 and 2, they were horrendous.
They should have won games.
As bad as I've ever seen them play. Yes.
Yeah. And Jonathan Quick, too, in those games, just, I mean, it was a, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I feel like there's, like, no explanation for it. And I think because it's so early in the, you know, in the playoffs, it's not like, you know, it's not really something that's revisited. But, man, I would love to know what, like, what happened? Like, what were they doing in those first two games? Why was it so bad? And then all of a sudden after that, how were they so good after that? I don't know. I mean, all those series to seven games. So who knows what the Kings are doing over there?
I think after game two, I felt like they were able to come. They came back home and like, okay, well, we're at home. We play well, and we can turn this around still. And I wasn't really that surprised when they played well in game three. I was a little surprised they still played pretty well in game four because I've seen so many teams over the years, you know, kind of pack it in. And I didn't really expect the Kings to do that, but like. I did not. First of all, I expected the Sharks to play a hell of a lot better than they did in Game 4, or especially Game 5, because you think you have a chance to finally close out these assholes that beat you last year. You would do it, but like the Game 5 one especially was just like, I don't know. I will never forget that night for probably as long as I live, because I fully expected to go into Game 5, expecting to see the Kings lose and get eliminated, and then when the way that game started with the Kings scoring pretty early and just pouring it on. That was just, that was pretty stunning. And then after that game was over, I thought they had a very good chance to win the series, you know, and they did. But,
when the Kings decide to play hockey that they're capable of playing, yeah, I mean, they're, you know, basically unbeatable, barring some kind of, the thing that made me feel like the Sharks really had a chance was that the Kings played so poorly, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, both the teams, they're fairly even. I think the Kings are a little bit better and have been the past couple of years. The Sharks are good enough that if they play their game, that, you know, I mean, barring the Sharks or the Kings playing, you know, absolutely incredible, the Sharks can win pretty much any single night. And I think we've seen that, you know, I mean, how evenly matched the teams have been just in the regular season and in the playoffs the past, you know, several years. Like these days, you know, they play them every fucking year in the playoffs. It's just without fail.
This new system that's going to, like, guarantee them to play every year now, especially since the Ducks can't be stopped in the regular season, which is fucking annoying, too. But
honestly, no, that is so much worse than anything else that has happened, the fact that the Ducks keep doing this. Because now it's gone on long enough that it's like, well, can't just be luck anymore. They must have something. There must be something else. And it's like, well, I mean, no, that's not really how it works. That's not literally how luck works, but that's fine.
These are the people that need to go into a casino and watch the roulette tables and watch how many times red or black can come out in a row. Where you keep thinking, and this has made many people go broke, being like, this is the time where the streak ends. It's like luck can work in incredibly wacky and stupid ways. And people don't seem to understand this. But
well, the I think the Ducks, last time I checked, only have one more regulation or overtime win than the Sharks, you know, I mean, which is incredible. They've got 12 more points, you know. They don't do a shootout in the fucking playoffs. So so it's just not going to happen. So they have to be able to win these games. You know, they talk about winning all these one-goal games. Well, you know, that's great and everything, but when you're winning all these games in the shootout, it's not exactly a recipe for playoff success. And another problem too is that the Ducks are just a god awful, undisciplined hockey team. They're just, you know, and I feel like that's something that people say a lot about a lot of hockey teams, but it's just absolutely true. I mean, just watching the Ducks play, they can't deal with it. They can't deal with getting calls going against them. They can't deal with, you know, going under early. They just can't do it, you know. Goodness, if I'd had a dollar for every single time the Ducks had a meltdown after going down 2-0 in the first period, you know, I'd be a very, very rich guy.
They literally do it every single time. It's amazing. Like, it's almost every single time. Like, it's one of these things where you think that people are exaggerating, and then you watch the Ducks, and it's like, no, they really just do this all the time.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And I feel like if they played in an actual hockey market, you know, and that's less of a knock on Anaheim and more just, you know, in California, any of these teams have, you know, one beat writer at one, you know, one mediocre newspaper. That's just, you know, just the way it is. Corey Perry would not be the hallowed guy that he is in his native land as he would be if people actually watched him play hockey night in and night out. You know, not that he's not a good hockey player, he's an incredible hockey player, but he's just, you know, he does all of these things that, that you know, hockey fans just absolutely hate. You know, the sucker punching crap, the crying about penalties, the, you know, the undisciplined penalties after he's committed of the first penalty. Like, it's just, it's awful.
Yeah. I mean, the Ducks to me, like, I don't know, the amount of like, yay, we're winning one goal game stuff I see from Ducks fans, just like, apparently these people are not baseball fans, clearly, because it's the same basic premise behind winning a lot of one-run games in baseball. It's like, it's good that they're winning them, I guess, but the fact that they're playing so many close games is not a good sign, and it almost can never keep up. You're going to win all these games where it's like one bounce or one swing of the bat in the baseball sense. It's just never going to happen. It's like, I was making a joke on Twitter the other night, like the Baltimore Orioles of 2012 or whatever year it was, where they won all those one-run games, did not win the World Series. Like, it's just not how it works. It just cannot continue forever. Eventually it stops. So, you know, I hope they're enjoying it, basically, because it's not, I would really have a hard time saying, like, maybe the Ducks are going to go win the Stanley Cup and they can go laugh in all our faces, but I really, really doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is that it's, you can enjoy winning the hockey games without thinking that, well, this is the way we're going to win a Stanley Cup. You know, no, you can separate those, you know, and not that people do, because clearly they do not, you know. But that's would totally be a reasonable thing. It's like, yeah, hey, it's great that my hockey team is winning all of these hockey games. And I just know that they need to do something else to actually continue to do this in the playoffs. But, you know, who knows? The thing is that, like, I think, like, whereas in baseball where just stuff happens in the baseball playoffs and the sample size issue becomes so much larger than it does even in hockey, and certainly more so than in something like basketball, which seems like the best team pretty much wins every single time anyway. I feel like in hockey, it really feels like, you know, by and large, the better team wins a really high percentage of the time, at least eventually. You know, there haven't been a lot of those. The last, you know, several Stanley Cup finals, or ever since the first lockout, it felt like most of those years, like, you know, even if it wasn't, you wouldn't say this is absolutely the best team. Like, oh, no, you know, you would never say, like, oh, my God, I can't believe, you know, the 2010 Giants won this game, or the, you know, the New York Giants, any of the times they've won the Super Bowl, right? It's just like you don't really have that in hockey so much. And so just hoping that, like, well, maybe we'll just be really lucky throughout the playoffs. I don't feel as good hoping for luck in hockey as I do in baseball or football.
Yeah, I agree. Now I totally lost what I was going to say. So this is great. Oh, now I remember what I was going to say. The one year where I think the best team probably didn't win was the first year after the lockout, because I think when you look back on it, the 2006 Carolina Hurricanes were probably not even close to the best team that year. I don't remember who was
supposed
to win.
San Jose Sharks broadcaster Brett Hedekin was on that team.
I know, that's true, actually.
The only link the franchise has to a Stanley Cup in as of 2014.
Did they bring him on just because he has a cup?
You want to know why they brought him on? He's married to Chrissy Yamaguchi, who is a San Jose native. I absolutely believe that has everything to do with it. Yeah, she's been a season ticket holder for a long time. She got him the hookups. American hero. Yamaguchi, first and foremost, of course. And San Jose hero, I guess, second and second most.
See, I did not even know she was from San Jose, so.
Yeah, somewhere around there, Hayward or something, some crappy Northern California city. Yeah, she's been a season ticket holder for a long time. That's how, so I think it was like, oh man, this guy has a cup ring. Oh, and he's married to Chrissy Yamaguchi. This is perfect. We absolutely need to hire this guy. And maybe that was all it was.
But yeah, the Hurricanes that year, I don't think were the best team. I think that year was just so wacky because of they were a trillion penalties called even during the playoffs that kind of skewed things a bit. And like, that was before they really had a handle on the new rules. I mean, you could certainly argue they should call more penalties in the playoffs right now than they do. But they probably should, yeah. But that year was the other extreme where it's just like you had a lot of power plays in all of those games, which you never get anymore. It's just kind of eroded every year after that. I mean, not even just eroded, though, because the very next year it was down, but quite a bit. But but I mean, like, it also has eroded even from that point. But yeah, that first year was just really weird. But
Yeah. Well, I mean, after that year, neither of those teams have. I mean, if you look at the 2006, like the two teams in that Stanley Cup final, right, the Hurricanes, the Oilers, then fast forward to 2014, and both those franchises are just in shambles, and that's maybe.
Yeah, the Oilers never made the playoffs since that year, and
right.
The Hurricanes, I believe, have only made it once. Maybe it was twice. I know that
it might be twice in the Eastern Conference. Who knows, right?
No, there was a year where they beat the Devils in a hilarious way in the first round, where the Devils were up a goal, and then
that was
a minute left, and they scored 2009, I believe. Yeah, they scored two goals in the last minute and won that series. Yeah, because it was 2009, because then they beat the Bruins in the semifinal, and they lost to the Penguins in the conference final, I think pretty easily. I think the Penguins swept them or something. But but yeah, that might have been their only playoff appearance since their Cup win. I'm going to look this up now because I am legitimately curious.
I've already got it up. They haven't made the Cup since 2008-2009, or made the playoffs.
And that was,
they missed
in 2007-08 too, the year they won the Cup. So
yes.
Yeah, that's their only playoff appearance since they won the Cup.
So there you go. Yeah,
How many times do you have two Cup finalists and they combine for one playoff appearance in the 9 years since? That is amazing.
Yeah,
it's
I can't
not like either one
of them
is going to come out this year either.
No, yeah, no problem. Well, certainly not. Yeah, right. I mean, it's kind of funny because I feel like the Oilers are actually playing not a less horrible than they have in the past. The Hurricanes are a garbage hockey team, and that's
although they're up 3-0 on Toronto right now.
well, that says a lot more about Toronto than it does about Carolina, I think.
Yeah, I feel so bad even laughing about that because of your poor girlfriend. Like, Leaf fans are injured enough at this point. Like, can we just, like...
No, there's so many of them that so badly deserve it, though.
Oh, that is true, actually. That's
I mean, you know, ugh. I mean, it's
Emily
really, once you get to know enough of them, it's really hard to feel bad for any of them, you know?
Did you and Emily ever solve that debate the two you had last year where you were arguing whether or not it was better to be the Sharks and make the playoffs every year and never win, or the Leafs and just never make the playoffs?
Oh, I think I know. I think it's so very entrenched. That's, I think, a philosophy difference.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. Because I don't know the pain of either right now, obviously, but, like, I can tell you when the Kings couldn't make the playoffs at all, I thought that was pretty painful. At that point, I would have given anything to just make the playoffs and lose. So I got where she was coming from. But, yeah.
I think it's a grass and greener situation. I mean, I think that's probably really all there is to it, you know.
Yeah,
well, when you don't make it, you have no chance, right? When you make it, at least you have that feeling that you have a chance. But I think the difference, too, is an expectation level thing. You know, if you go in like the Sharks have and expect to win, you know, you expect to at least, you know, make it to the Stanley Cup final, if not win it. And then not getting that, obviously, is so much worse than being like, well, I just want to make the playoffs. And if you lose in the first round, it's like, well, my expectations was make the playoffs. You know, it's kind of a different thing. I think it's all about expectations.
Yeah.
What
can we talk about to kill another 15 minutes? We've done a commendable job here with just the two of us and, you know, getting through 45 minutes almost here, but I feel like we're starting to run out of steam. Oh, we haven't really even talked about the game on Wednesday. The game on Wednesday.
I was gonna say,
guess
yeah.
Guess what's gonna happen, Jake?
All right, hit me.
The Sharks are gonna win, probably by a lot.
Mm.
I'm calling that one now. Okay. It's the Kings in January, right before the All-Star break. I've seen this movie many times before. They're probably gonna be great coming out of the All-Star break. Because that seems to happen for them a lot, too, coming out of All-Star Olympic breaks. But going into the All-Star break, I would – if I was a betting man, which I am, but I don't bet on sports, I would be very, very tempted to put a lot of money on the Sharks because I don't see how the hell the Kings are going to win that game in San Jose on a Wednesday in January before the All-Star break. I bet they're going to get their butts kicked. But there you go.
You know, it's hard to say. It's really hard to predict, you know, I don't know. Well, the Kings have not been not looked particularly great lately. I mean, the Sharks have looked at least better. You know, they even and the loss to the Flames the other day, notwithstanding, of course.
that was funny.
Yeah, I mean,
I say that as a fan of the Kings, about to lose the Flames too, but that's still
right.
Funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of hard to say.
What happened in that game? I didn't even see any of it.
No, not really. Calgary is a lot better this year, I think, than they were in the past. That being said, I feel like the Sharks should outplay the Flames literally every single game that they play against them. I don't know. I mean, I would say it was. I seem to remember the shots being, you know, pretty much even, if not exactly even. I don't know. I mean, it's just there were a couple crappy goals against. You know, neither goalie played particularly well, and for that matter, neither did the defense for them. I seem to remember thinking that a couple of those goals that were real bad were because of a poor defensive play and not a poor goaltending. I think the Sharks had a shorthanded goal. Yeah, I mean, they were down 2-0, I think, in after the first 10 minutes or so. Yeah, they allowed a goal in the first 2 minutes or something, and then a second one within not long after that, and they tied the game and took the lead, and then gave up the two goals after that. I don't know. It's just it's one of those games, right, where it's like, well, if the Sharks weren't playing poorly or not as well as they should be the rest of the year, it wouldn't even be that big a deal. It'd be like, well, they got a point out of it because it was an overtime loss, and they played okay, so no big deal. But in context of the fact they haven't played that well all year, that's just they don't really get the benefit of that. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
I've watched a lot of Kings games lately than I have Sharks games because the office will put the Kings games on, and the Wi-Fi at the office isn't good enough to watch Sharks games. So, yeah, I just know the Kings haven't looked as good as, I don't know, as I'm used to seeing. Although maybe this is what I'm used to seeing in January and in December, so maybe it's just
better. I was going to say, yes, they are very bad this time of year. It's a very common thing. I mean, their Corsis aren't, like, bad or anything, but, like, their scoring chance numbers have been pretty, like, average to below average. And it's just, you know, as a Kings fan, this is what you always expect to see this time of year because it seems to be a recurring theme for this team. I mean, you can go all the way back to the first year after the lockout where I think they were, like, in a playoff spot going into, like, halfway the year, or, like, top of the conference or something through, like, early to mid-December, and they dropped all the way out of the playoffs. And it started with just, I think, a horrendous January. But, I mean, you know, not that a team with, like, Eric Armstrong and Kyle Calder should have been making the playoffs anyway. But, I mean, it's a very predictable pattern for the Kings at this point.
I don't know if there's really anything to that one way or another, whether it's something that they're doing that causes them to do that. I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. If you make the playoffs, then you're a good enough team, and it doesn't matter. Maybe it's just the style of hockey that they play where they don't, you know, the Kings don't score a ton of goals necessarily. It's a, you know, top offensive
they do this
team or whatever.
Their offense is fine this year. The problem has been Jonathan Quick, the biggest issue. Like, I think, where the hell are they in goals for? I remember I looked this up, and it was honestly stunning to me because, like, as you said, they are usually pretty not good at scoring in the regular season, but so far, let's see, game. Oh, they've fallen a little bit. They're 13th, though, which is a hell of a lot better than they've been on a lot of seasons recently. They're ahead of the Sharks.
Yeah, I mean,
the Sharks are 19th.
So, yeah, I was going to say the Kings have more even strength goals than the Sharks this year, which I guess doesn't surprise me a ton.
Yeah, without Burns up forward.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And and because of that, you know, moving Hurdle to away from Thornton and Burns, I think that's hurt him a little bit. And I still don't think he's been really the same player he's been ever since the injury. And, yeah, part of that, exactly. I think obviously part of that is just that, you know, he's young and whatever. It takes longer to recover from an injury or whatever. And part of it too is that it's a really terrible, terrible situation for young player to be developing in, I think would also be fair to say. Not a great environment in San Jose right now. So maybe
how far is he good?
Too.
He has a great name, but I don't know anything else about him.
He does have a great name. I don't know how good he is actually at the hockey point. I think it's hard to say. It's too early to tell. I really think it takes a couple seasons before you really get barring him being Sidney Crosby or something, to really get a sense for how good a guy is.
Spitting some hot takes there, saying he knew that Sidney Crosby fellow was a good hockey player.
There's just some guys I can just tell. You know, I just have this sense.
What was your opinion of that Steven Stamkos kid? Was he pretty good too?
Yeah. I actually think that guy might have a future. He's pretty good. I thought that right from the get-go, actually. You know, that was I was one of the first ones to get that scouting report out, so I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, it was a good call, Jake. Good call.
Yeah. Well, they should be paying me to do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, mm-hmm. they don't pay me to do this either, buddy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh. You should have
you think I get paid for this? If I get paid for this crap, the world would have a problem. I'm very glad, actually. I don't know what company would pay me to come on here and ramble for an hour every other week. I mean, God, if someone wants to pay me to do this.
I was
going to
say, don't sell yourself short. I write it.
But yeah, that's if any of our other dozens and dozens of fans didn't know that I don't get paid to do this, I guess now they know. I think I said that in the past, because there was some episode like a couple months ago where I replied to some guy who was complaining about how bad this podcast was, supposedly, because he was mad that we had a few words for the world half, and he was like, your podcast is so bad. I'm like, okay, buddy, I don't get paid to do this. I do this because I enjoy it, and I have a bunch of people I like on here. It's like, it's not a big deal to me if you don't like it. If you don't like it and you don't listen, that is approximately zero less dollars on the $0 I get paid to do this. So it's okay.
Yeah, that's a depressing thought. Those guys probably get paid to do their blog, huh? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, they probably – I don't know. I don't know if I should have been saying this on the air. I think, honestly, they get quote-unquote paid in, like, King's Perks.
Oh, clicks or whatever? Oh, that's even worse. Kickbacks or something?
I think that's probably what happens. So if they wanna shout at me and correct me, that'd be fine. But
they listen?
One of them listens to this. One of them does.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I mean, if he made it through 52 minutes just to hear us shit talk him that one time, that's impressive, and I respect that.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember he was saying like good job to Eric or something, and I was like, holy crap, he listened to this show? Like, I couldn't even imagine, but you know, whatever.
Big fan of Eric in particular. Eric's a really nice guy.
Yeah. Eric is ridiculously nice. Eric is too nice to be associated with the rest of us, honestly.
Well, that's 100% true, yeah. No disagreement here.
He's way too nice to be associated with me and Nick. But that's how it goes, I guess. I apologize, Eric, if over the years Nick and I have hurt your advancement opportunities in the Kingsverse.
I was going to say, Kingsverse is a good name.
Yeah. I mean, he appeared
so
on
is Nashville going to be any good, do you think? What do you think? I want to know your opinion on this. Without Pecorine, are they screwed? What is your professional opinion?
They're hockey numbers and stuff.
Professional hockeyer?
No, I'm not professional. You have to get paid to be professional.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I mean, I did put this on my resume, and it might help me get hired, so that was cool.
So it's like an internship then. So whatever. So semi-professional.
Yeah, there you go. So Nashville is still like a 53% score-adjusted Corsi team at even strength. That's pretty damn good, actually. The only team better is Winnipeg of all teams. I don't know where the hell this came from, Winnipeg, but they are actually really good. Like, it is not.
They're fun to watch too, eh?
That they are fun. It's not even like, I think they stubbed me more than Nashville, because Nashville, I kind of saw, like, I would not have been that surprised if you told me Nashville was going to be good this year, because they had a lot of pieces where, like,
sure.
You know, and they were still, their Corsi numbers were pretty good last year too. They just weren't like as good as this year. But yeah, I mean, Nashville did not surprise me that much. Winnipeg surprised the crap out of me. I have no idea where this came from, but they are a very good team. But anyway, so the only teams better than them in the West is are Winnipeg, Chicago, and LA. So with that said, I think they'll be able to withstand it to some degree. How long is Pecorino out? I don't even know.
I mean, several weeks is what I seem to recall.
Several weeks, whatever, they'll be fine. I mean, they've banked 64 points already. They have a 4-point lead on St. Louis for first and Central with a game in hand on them. Like, I don't see them dropping any further than like the first wild card spot or something at worst case. So I think they'll be fine.
Winnipeg, they have the benefit of that division being not as good as necessarily it's been. Well, the Stars being not good, I guess. Really, it's the bottom line. That's certainly helped everyone out quite a lot.
The Stars are not that good. Colorado dropped like they're supposed to, and basically Winnipeg switched places with Minnesota, is how you can look at
right.
it. So,
yeah, Minnesota.
The division still,
yeah. Right.
No, I was just going to say, the division's still good and deep, but it's like, it's not, it's four teams deep now instead of five, which it was last year.
Right.
So.
Right. It's interesting to see how much of that is really directly related to the goaltending. I mean, Minnesota and Dallas in particular have had, you know, just, Jesus Christ, awful goaltending. Like, that must be terrible to watch your team play relatively well. And this is the same story it's been for Minnesota, it seems like, for the past few years. And just to be so bad in goaltending and just to have a tank the rest of your team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've seen a little bit with the Kings lately, honestly. Because Quick, after
no,
such
true.
A good start, Quick had like a .940 save percentage after like I think the first
he
month,
did.
And he was honestly holding the team in there for the first month. Like the Kings were garbage
right.
in October, and after that the Kings have been, you know, fine to great, and Quick has been garbage. Like Quick save percentage, I'm gonna look it up now. Last time I checked it, it was below. It was like .913, which means he's been
wow.
really bad. For it to fall all the way to .913 after it was .940.
Well, he was like Vezina caliber at the beginning of
yeah,
that
he was
first
Vezina caliber,
month,
yeah.
So just incredible.
He's at .912 now. So, like,
wow.
yeah. I mean, that
back
is
down,
very terrible.
Back down with his good pal, Antti Niemi, in Antti Niemi country.
Yeah.
Good. Back where he belongs.
Yeah, I mean, Quick is – I don't know how many times I can say Quick is not that good a goalie without – I mean, and Kings fans still hate hearing it, but, like, he's just an incredibly inconsistent goaltender. His style lends itself to that, and I would much rather have a goalie making slightly less money that was able to give us a consistent, like, .918 or some shit than having this fucking all-or-nothing Quick, you know, garbage
sure.
every year. And just because he can make some flashy Spider-Man saves, whoop-de-doo. They count the same whether they look cool or not. I really wish a lot of Kings fans would get that in their head. It doesn't matter how cool his save looks as long as he stops the puck. It doesn't
sure.
matter. I don't know why.
I think
Kings fans love to talk about how great some of these saves look. Yeah, they look great, but some of them are because he's so far out of position, it's the only way he can make the save. And some other times, it seems like he could have, like Nick had a tweet about this the other night, where it looked like he could have come across like a normal goaltender and made a normal save. And instead, he threw himself like an acrobat and made the acrobat save. And it's like, well, it looks great, but there was actually no point, no need for that.
Yeah. I feel like the principle is the same in hockey as it is in baseball. You know, don't pay too much for saves. And I think that it's a real problem in hockey.
That's a great line. Oh, my God. It's true, though. These freaking closures in baseball. I don't think either the teams I like are paying a lot for closures right now, but I have to look that up, honestly. I'm somewhere between a casual and a hardcore baseball fan, but I don't pay enough attention during the off season. Why?
I think it depends on who the
Nicole decided to interrupt us. Go ahead.
I mean, yeah, I think I guess it depends on who the Blue Jays trot out there to close games these days, and it also depends if either the teams you root for are actually good enough to have a closer. You know, I guess that's also a key.
Yeah.
Blue Jays weren't good enough to have a closer last year, so.
I know Max Scherzer got hired by the Mets. That's interesting.
Hired? That's interesting.
Signed.
Signed or
whatever.
Yeah. He was in the unemployment office, and finally somebody hired him. Stop cashing those government checks.
$210 million. Jesus Christ. These baseball players get paid a lot of money.
Yeah, I would definitely encourage your children to be baseball players and not hockey players. Guaranteed
true,
money, and it's so much more. Wow, the union there. Yeah, that's they know what they're doing, I guess.
Well, hockey players have guaranteed contracts too. Oh, you mean just guaranteed
I gotcha. Well, guaranteed and lots of money, right? Whereas football is more money than hockey, but not guaranteed. And hockey is less money, but guaranteed.
Football is a joke, obviously. Yeah, it's the most dangerous sport.
Shocking to literally no one. Well, the NFL is the worst league. What? Who would have guessed?
The NFL. They had something on Deadspin like a week ago or something about how like the amount of money that these NFL teams are taking these cities for these stadiums.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, as an NHL and an NBA fan, you can defend the arenas being built on public money a little better. It's still not good and they still shouldn't do it. But at least like these 18 or 16,000 seat arenas can legitimately be used for a lot of other things. Like, you know, you'll have high school graduations there and like Disney on Ice kind of stuff, whatever, concerts. But meanwhile, these humongous friggin' football stadiums literally cannot be used for anything else but these football games, of which there are, what, like 9 of them or whatever? 9 home days per year, right?
Less than that, isn't it? 8, maybe 9? Only 8 if they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. So it's like, and plus, obviously, NHL and NBA, you get 41 games per team. But, like, it's just amazing to me that the amount of money they're spending on these stadiums and for, like, no return at all. But I don't know. The NBA side. I mean, and with baseball, you know, you probably can't use it for a lot either, but at least you get like 81 home dates, which is still, you know, that's a lot. So it's like, I can see that helping the local businesses where you have a bunch of fans there 81 times a year. But like 8? How much can local business be helped by having 8 home games there? No matter how popular it is or how many people show up. Yeah. So fuck the NFL. I guess
I was gonna say that's a good policy. Long term. All right. So what's the score gonna be in this game on Wednesday? I'm gonna go with 4-2 Kings. That's what I'm going with.
Oh, you're a crazy person.
I think you're wrong.
It's gonna be 5-3 Sharks.
Ooh, wow. I hope it's an 8-goal game. That would be a lot of fun to watch. That would be unbelievably fun between these two teams.
It's going to be one of these games where the Sharks get out to like a 5-0 lead and the Kings score like
three goals. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
All right. Like
that's good. I'll buy that. That's good, too. Yeah.
All right. I guess we can wrap this up. We've been on here for over an hour. See, I was worried we weren't going to get through an hour, and then we did. Yeah.
We did
Thank
it. We're getting
Ross.
Those bonuses after all.
Those bonuses. all right, folks. Thank you to Jake. Thank you for listening. As mentioned at the start of the show, we are not going to be back next Monday because who in God's name wants to listen to people talk about the freaking All-Star game? I would not listen to that podcast. Would you listen to that
Me
podcast,
neither.
Jake?
I would not.
No.
I will not be watching that game even.
I will not be watching that game either, more than likely. Like, that's the All-Star game is garbage. I don't mind the skills competition. I mean, those competitions.
If I watch one thing, that will be one thing. Right.
Yeah, like the skills competition can be pretty fun. But the All-Star game itself is such garbage. Like, I am not doing a podcast about that. But we will be back in 2 weeks. So set your calendar.
All right.
An alert, have your phone go off and remind you, and we'll be back then. Jake, again, it was very cool. Thanks for coming on.
It's been a pleasure and an honor.
All right, see you guys in 2 weeks.